Welcome, everybody, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 4 in the NFL. I am one of your hosts, Jimmy Traina. 3-0 last week on your best bets. Got to get that right out at the top. Joining me, as always, MMQB Senior Editor, Gary Gramling. Gary, how are you?
I'm good. 2-1.
2-1 for the best bets.
But my Cardinals covered.
My Lions covered. Went
my Lions went outright. So yeah.
What a week.
All of a sudden,
they're my Cardinals and my Lions again.
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to be my Cardinals.
They've
anyway,
been your Cardinals
I'll
and your
reclaim
Lions
them
all
as my
season.
Lions.
Yes. Also here, Gary's brother, DRF Sports Farm Managing Editor, Scott Gramling. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jimmy.
How were the best bets last week?
They were pretty solid, 4-0.
4-0, that's pretty solid. That's not pretty solid. That is as solid as it gets.
As solid as it gets would have been, 12-0.
Well,
but, it was...
you go 4-0, you give me more than pretty solid.
You know, I'm 9-1 now through the first 3 weeks.
Riding the Chiefs.
I haven't even had them as a best bet since week one, believe it or not. But, there's part of me that almost wants to not do any more best bets for the rest of the year. And then when we lead into next year, we can say all accurately and factually that I was 90% against the spread.
There's only one way to go now. But we will try to not have that happen here in week four. Personally, I do not love the board this week. I was struggling even to find more than one best bet. What do you guys think overall on the board this week?
Tougher board than last week, I have to say. I mean, my best bets last week, I had the Panthers, I had the Ravens, I had the Seahawks, and I had the Cardinals getting the points.
All really easy. The Cardinals, a little bit of a sweat, but everything else was fairly...
Yeah, that never seemed in doubt, though.
What was the game where there was a pick six that got called back because of a flag? Wasn't that...
That was that one. Yeah.
So you had a little tiny...
No, you're right. It gave me a little scare right there.
But the rest were
the
easy
end.
Winners for you there.
Rest were double-digit wins on single-digit favorites, and you always kind of like that. I mean, you had the Dolphins one. That was solid.
Dolphins, Panthers. I think we all had the Panthers last week.
We did all
have
the
Dolphins, and then I nailed a Bills-Vikings under, which I called perfectly, except I just had the teams wrong.
But it doesn't matter when
but
you bet unders.
But the ticket got cashed.
Absolutely
Guy,
got
what were your
cashed.
Best bets? You had Carolina and what else?
Oh, but I had Carolina. Oh, I got to bring in the board
Bring
Steelers.
Up the board.
You guys are quick.
Right?
I'm very sorry about this.
Steelers
on Monday night, and I missed the Jaguars. I went overboard with the Bortles hype. And
Wait, did you go with the Steelers, or was it Miami?
No, I went with Steelers, Miami. Nope, I went Steelers, Carolina, and then I missed the Jaguars.
Jaguars. What happened to the Jaguars last week? I still can't figure it out.
What we talked about last week, you guys were a little bit on the fact that now they're an aggressive team, and
but then
I tried to remind
aggressive.
You, well, it was Doug Marrone, of course. They were not aggressive. They were aggressive against the Patriots, and you thought it was a new thing with Nathaniel Hackett going for a head coaching job, and they're Doug Marrone's team. They're going to be a conservative, crummy team that doesn't do anything on offense more weeks than not.
We will correct the record here. It was a chicken and the egg type of deal last week when Blake Bortles was not able to read the field when he had basically regressed to where he was in 2014. That's when they became conservative.
I think you had two games last week. Browns win because Tyrod Taylor gets injured and they bring in Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
Tennessee wins because Blaine Gabbert got knocked out of the game, and then they had to bring in Mariota, who was supposedly hurt, but then he played, and he controlled that game. Blaine Gabbert
it's
plays
a 9-6 game, Jimmy. It's not because of the quarterback.
Yeah, but Blaine Gabbert would have been good for 2 or 3 turnovers, probably.
Maybe that's
Mariota
a fair
kept
point.
It
that's a
kept it
point.
Tight. All right, enough about week 3. Let's go to week 4 in the NFL. We will kick things off. Game number 1 here. The Cowboys, struggling Cowboys, giving a field goal at home to the Lions, coming off the big win against the Patriots. Gary, you've been the Lion expert. Will they pull it off this week?
I'm going to give you this one through tears. I'm going with Cowboys in this one. I actually really like the Cowboys in this one. I think this is a bit of a overcorrection here for the Lions. I think the Lions are still closer to what they were in week 1 than what they were in week 3. You got to remember, look, Matt Patricia knows that Patriots defense as well as anyone in football. I don't know if they'll face another defense with that sort of lack of talent in the linebacking core again this year. Cowboys, even without Sean Lee, I mean, they got guys who can at least move. forward and sideways.
What about the Cowboy offense?
You know what? I think that's all right. I think the Cowboys still can get enough points against a middling defense. I think you do enough with Dak in the run game and obviously Ezekiel Elliott, still Ezekiel Elliott. I don't think this one is one where they're going to hang 40 points, but I think this is a, with the Lions going on the road, never like the Lions on the road that much. I think this is a sort of 24-14 type
Elliott
of game
was
for the
running
Cowboys.
Well last week. I mean, he had a terrible fumble, so maybe, turns around this week. Scott?
I think this is a tough game to call, one of the tougher games on a tough board. I think that if I had to pick it, I would probably lean ever so slightly to Dallas. I do have a betting system here. Home teams off a road loss, 5-0 against the spread this season when the line is between +3 and -3. I'm kind of with Gary. I know a lot's being made about, the Cowboys don't have Sean Lee. That made a difference a few years ago when he had stiffs like Rolando McClain or Hitchens running out there. I do think with the athletic linebackers that they have now and Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch losing Lee, not only is not going to be that much of a problem, it might end up being an upgrade where Lee is in his career and where those guys are in their career. So, Gary's calling 24-14. I think the number's kind of right on. It feels like a 20-17 type of game to me.
Total here is 43.5. I didn't mention that earlier. I'm with Scott. I think it's a tough game to call. If I had to pick some, I think I would just go under because I do think, you have a good Cowboys defense, like you guys said, even without Lee. And I don't think the Cowboy offense is lighting up the scoreboard this year. Just the weapons at wide receiver, just non-existent. Tavon Austin and, all these games are going over, but there's an under I would take a flyer on. All right, interesting game here. Packers all banged up, coming off a loss at Washington, giving 10 points to the Bills, who shocked the world last week. Total here, 45. Scott, where do you go with this one?
I don't like the game, and it's because the Packers are so banged up. I would not bet this game. If I had to take it, I would take the Packers and lay the points. I just feel like a bit of an overreaction on this line. Packers by 10, I mean, let's be honest. If, and I know ifs and buts and candy and nuts and all that, but if the Bills don't go to Minnesota and win, this is a 15-point spread.
Right.
So it's a 10-point spread. It's a spot that Green Bay's been pretty solid under Mike McCarthy. Home favorite of between 7.5 and 14 points. Green Bay 22-13 against the spread in the McCarthy era. They just seem to be able to take care of business in these type of games that they should win handily. They do win handily. I guess I would see a Packers 14-point win here. I certainly wouldn't be surprised if the Packers end up winning something like 31-23. I feel like, 28-20, something in that range. So if I had to pick it, I'd pick the Packers. I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have Buffalo go into Minnesota, win, and then now go into Green Bay. I mean, they only have to cover 10. But, keep in mind, I because that was one of my best bets, I watched that game intently. The Bills got 2 sack fumbles recovered, like, in the red zone. I'm not taking anything away from their win, but everything fell right in that one.
That was their path to victory all last year.
Yeah, true. But you're going to do it again? I don't know. What do you think about this one, Gary?
I think it was a bit of a reminder, and it's a good point, Jim. I think it's a bit of a reminder. Bills get an early lead. That defense is still very good. Yeah. They are built to contain teams. I mean, they don't give up big plays.
They're good. They're not very good.
Yeah,
they're actually more
fair
okay
enough.
Than good.
Fair enough.
I think the Vikings were very hurt last week without Dalvin Cook. You saw that a little bit.
They just weren't ready for the game.
They couldn't get anything going, and then that defense stifled them. But
Gary
again,
did say last week going that he thought the Vikings were kind of on a half bye here, having to go into the Thursday night
Gary
game.
Gary was overlooking
last
the Bills
night against the Rams. No, Gary was saying that he thought the Bills. Gary sided with the Bills against the Vikings.
I was talking Bills money line last week.
Yeah. No,
then you wouldn't be here talking us.
No, you were not.
I was not. No, I thought the Bills would close in and get a little backdoor cover last week, obviously.
No, but I think the point well, you but, made, I think, was a good one, and that ended up panning out, that the Vikings just sort of took it as sort of a half bye week. They didn't even come to play. And I don't even know if you can read that much more into it than that. They
what
just weren't ready to play.
What do you got on this week for that game?
Oh, I'm leaning Packers. But like I said, I don't think I'm going to touch the Packers until Rodgers looks a little bit closer to 100%. I thought he looked worse last week than he did 2 weeks ago.
He said the knee's not a problem. It's probably quarterback speak there. I can't go on Buffalo here. I would go Packers as well, and maybe you get lucky, he'll lay in the 10 with, you know, Rodgers just lighting it up. But that is a the Buffalo defense is not terrible. Here's a game. This is going to be a rough one here if you want to watch it. Colts minus a point and a half at home to the winless Texans, who lost last week in their first home game against the Giants. Total here, 47, Gary.
Yeah, on one hand, I'm really worried about Andrew Luck. Something's wrong with Andrew Luck. And the fact that they're so banged up on the offensive line, they're so overly conservative with that offense right now. I don't think they can score enough points. But more than that, this Texans team has been tough to figure out. They're really struggling early with the scripted plays. They're kind of turning it on once Deshaun Watson can freelance a little bit. I think the Texans win this one outright and... I think fairly easily, too. I really like the Texans in this one. Although, like I said, I mean, they've been a confusing team to figure out.
Yeah, I don't. You know, Deshaun Watson is not what he was last year before the injury. If you've watched him closely, there's two quarterbacks here taking a long time to sort of get back where they were. I think Doyle is going to be is banged up for the Colts. If Andrew Luck's got to turn to Eric Ebron, good luck there because he's terrible. Scott, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I like the Texans a lot here. I really do. I feel like this is a little bit of a desperation spot for them. I think they match up well. I feel like the Colts secondary is a bit banged up. I'm not going to know really until game time who's healthy and really who's active, and even the active players might not fully be healthy. So to me, I like the Texans a lot here. It's essentially a pick 'em game. You look at, this defense, the Colts defense, I know they've kind of been competitive here, but they're still allowing very high completion percentage. And you look at Bill O'Brien, 15-5-1 against the spread when they're going up against a defense. It's allowing a completion percentage over 64%. I think a key matchup here could be Houston's front seven against what's still a weak Indianapolis offensive line. And I like the over here. I like over 47. I think there's going to be a lot of points here because I think there's a lot of questions, especially on the Colts defense. But, the Texans defense as well. You know, they made the Giants look like an NFL team in week three. And no other team had, been able to do that in a negative way. So, I like the Texans. I like the over here.
The quarterbacks, Watson and Luck, have struggled to get back to form, but J.J. Watt has. He had a monster game last week. As Gary said, Colts with a depleted offensive line there could be a big, big day for Watt. I would go Houston as well here. Colts do not look good at all. One of the more interesting 1 o'clock games, I like this one a lot here in terms of just the interest in it. The Bears are giving a field goal at home to the Buccaneers. Total here, 46.5. Very intriguing game because the Bears... defense has been good. Offense has been shaky. Trubisky, not pinpoint accuracy, and that's an understatement. And they're giving 3 to the Bucs, who have lit up the scoreboards. Fitzpatrick, everybody knows, with his 400-yard games. This game is in Chicago. Total 46.5. Scott, thoughts?
You know, I loved the Bears going into the season. They were one of my favorite over regular season win total picks. They just have not looked good, and that's why I took the Cardinals last week at home against the Bears and thought it was going to be a low-scoring game, and it wasn't. It was in the teens. I feel like this is a pretty tough spot for this Bears team. They're banged up in the secondary. Amukamara, hamstring injury, game-time decision. Cooper, hamstring. You know, I know they've got Khalil Mack there now, but I feel like what Tampa's been able to do with that passing game and how many different options Fitzpatrick has in that passing game, and that's where I think Fitzpatrick has made a big difference over Jameis Winston. Godwin's getting involved. Both tight ends are getting involved, Bray and Howard. You still have DeSean Jackson now, threat of a deep ball, and then you got Mike Evans, who really, pound for pound, could be one of the top 5 most talented receivers in the league. So I think it's a solid matchup here for the Buccaneers. And look at the teams Chicago's beaten, right? They're 2-1, but they beat Arizona and Seattle. Neither of those teams have the type of offense that Tampa has. I think that Tampa goes into Chicago, even off the short week, I think they win this one outright.
Well, one thing I'd push back on you a little bit on is you said the Bears have not played great, which is true. Yep. But they're still 2-1. And I think if you're a team, listen, if you're the Patriots and you don't play great and you're 2-1, it's an issue. They're 1-2. I know that. I'm just saying. But if you're the Bears, who are a young team that's trying to now climb up, and erase a terrible season last year, and you're 2-1 while not playing well, I think that's almost a good sign. You're learning how to win. Now, listen, this is tough because this explosive offense is coming to town, but from watching the Bears closely this year, I really feel like if Trubisky could just clean it up a little bit, they're going to go to the next level. His accuracy is a problem, but he's close.
I don't know how close he is because we talked about it last week before the Cardinals game that he looks very good, not great. He looks very good at the beginning of the game when the plays are scripted. After the script is done and he's freelancing, It's really not good. And let's be honest, they went into Arizona and they squeaked out a win with less than 20 points. It's not the type of win that you walk away from. Now, I'm not taking anything away from the Bears in terms of real football, but as I'm handicapping, I think this team's being a little overvalued because we talked about it last week with the Broncos, right? The Broncos were 2-0, but then when you look deeper at the wins, and that's what we do on the MMQB gambling show here, we look into, behind those initial numbers, the Broncos had a close win against a Seahawks team that's down this year, and they had a 1-point win against a Raiders team that's down. And sure enough, single-digit underdog, they went to Baltimore, and they got beat by 13 points.
I'd love the Bears here if they're playing almost every other team, but with the Bucs offense, I think that's a tough spot.
And
if
the
they
secondary
play
being banged up is a thing here.
Gary, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll play a little bit of peacemaker here, and I'm glad you brought it up, Scott. I think Bears-Broncos are maybe the fraud bowl at this point if those two teams were playing head-to-head. The Bears are 2-1. Jimmy's got a point. I could envision Trubisky clicking midseason and them making a – I remember the Panthers last year came out before they played New England. They were 2-1, and the offense was just a mess, and they were sort of surviving these games, and then it started to click. I think that's within the realm of possibility. I don't think Trubisky has shown you anything at this point that makes you think that it's about to happen, though. And look, if Sam Bradford's in the shaving points in the fourth quarter there, Cardinals win that game outright. So I'm not high on the Bears. And like you guys said, they played the Cardinals, they played the Seahawks, they played Deshaun Kizer for a couple series. They haven't played a good offense yet. I think the defense is going to be very good. Mack is obviously otherworldly. Akeem Hicks is fantastic. I don't think the rest of that defense is quite where it needs to be at this point. I like the Bucs in this one.
I think the 400-yard passing streak for Fitzpatrick ends this week.
Agreed.
They got the loss last week. Now that streak will end, and Ryan Fitzpatrick will slowly turn back into Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I would not touch this game here for all the reasons everyone said. The Bears still have issues, but I wouldn't be shocked if they won.
No.
But it's a nerve-wracking game. I like what I've seen from their running backs, but Trubisky, the accuracy is a big problem. All right. Atlanta at home, coming off a home loss to the Saints. They're at home again, back-to-back home games for the Falcons, giving 4 points to the Bengals. Gary, anything here to jump out at you with this matchup?
Yeah, 5.5 is kind of a lot considering the state of the
five
defense right now.
I saw four on good old William Hill.
Oh, four now. Whoa. Then I love the Falcons.
All right, there
you go. I still had 5.5.
I checked
up
the lines right before we taped. William Hill had Falcons -4, total 52.
Even better. Yeah, no, I like the Falcons here. Falcons are, they have their issues on defense. They really have figured it out in the red zone. They've scored on, I believe it's 9 straight red zone possessions at this point. Put an asterisk on it because they did get stopped once last week, and they got a roughing the kicker to open things back up. But still, 8 for 9 would have been pretty good considering what happened in the opener. I think this offense is really getting close to where they were in 2016. They're going to score a lot of points. I think they're going to win this game, and I think it's a high-scoring game. And I think they're going to sit in around 34, 35
Imagine
points.
If they had Devontae Freeman. He's still supposed to be out for this game as well. But you said, they've turned it around. Calvin Ridley has been a factor.
Calvin Ridley has emerged. A lot of people think Tevin Coleman is better than Devontae Freeman around the league. And on top of that, The thing that I like that they're doing in the red zone now is that they're done trying to force the ball to Julio Jones.
Right,
for some reason, they set records with their offense 2 years ago not throwing to Julio Jones in the red zone, and then some reason they came back last fall and were like, oh, well, we got to force the ball to Julio Jones. No, you don't. You got to score points.
Sarkisian got him in fantasy, I think.
No, I was going to say.
But, very possible.
I don't think the Falcons are significantly better than the Bengals, but I think the offense is just going to keep on piling up points, and the margins of victory will be big.
Tough order for the Bengals. They went into Carolina last week on a road game, now back into Atlanta. Scott?
Good segue, because I think the same thing here. Now, this line did move from 5.5 to 4. It seemed to be on the news that A.J. Green practiced in full on Thursday afternoon.
He left last week's game.
Good. Exactly. Yep. So he's his status no longer seems to be in any doubt. I love Atlanta here. I feel like the Atlanta defense has given up its share of yards and points, but you look at them in recent seasons, right? Atlanta is 6-1 against the spread, 7-0 straight up since the start of 2016, when they're coming off a game in which they allowed 30 or more points. You look at the Bengals, on the other hand, they tend to struggle with opponents that can move the football. 0-6 against the spread on the road since the start of 16 against an opponent that's averaging at least 5.65 yards per play. In those six games, they've been outscored by an average margin of more than 12.5 points. I just feel like this is a tall order, Jimmy. I think you really got on that. To have to go to Carolina and go to Atlanta, this NFC South is still the best division in football. It was last year, and you can make it a case that it's even better this year because the Bucs have come along. And to have to go on the road and face those two teams back-to-back, I still like the Bengals in the long haul. I don't like them at all
when you
here.
Have to go from, you know, they played a okay offense last week. Now they go to a juggernaut offense, too. That's always, you know, if it was the other way around, maybe you could make an argument. But
I think that's a good point.
Tough order here for the Bengals.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like the Falcons.
All right. I thought I was a genius all afternoon last Sunday because at the last minute, I switched my survivor pool pick from the Vikings to the Jaguars. And now we know how that ended up. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who could not score a point last week to save their lives or my survivor pool, giving 7.5 to the Jets, 38.5 your total. I believe that's the lowest one on the board this week. I am correct. Scott, Jacksonville, -7.5 at home. Jets, total 38.5.
Yeah, it's so hard in a game with such a low total to take a favorite of more than 7 points. This is a very tough game to
call. They're basically saying the Jets aren't going to score.
Essentially, which is entirely possible. I mean, this could be a 23-13 type game. If I had to pick it, I don't know. I probably would lay the points, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think the Jaguars might bounce back. I guess this is what I'm looking at the Jaguars, right? Aggressive game plan against the Patriots, put up 31 points, a ton of yards, and then last week, garbage. We talked a little bit about that at the top of the show. They score 6 points. I feel like they might open things up again here. And yeah, if I had to play, you know, this feels like, you know, something, I don't know, 21-13, 24-16, something like that, maybe 24-17. Because of that, I think the number's right where it needs to be. If it was 6.5, I would like the Jaguars a lot better. At 7.5, not so much. If I had to take it, I'd play the Jags.
Tough assignment here, too, for Sam Darnold. Rookie going into Jacksonville against that defense after they had a loss. Not because of the defense, obviously, they only gave up 9 points, but going to be a tough one here, I think. The Jet defense should keep a minute, but this will be the best defense Darnold has faced so far this season. It's going to be very interesting to see how
Jimmy,
reacts.
I mean, the Jags, they held the Giants to 15 points, the Patriots to 20, and then the Titans to 9.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
And you have a rookie now going there on the road.
Yep.
Gary?
That's a good point.
What do you got?
No, this number got too big for me. I was hoping there would be something of an overcorrection after Bortles' performance last week, maybe to get this down at 4.5, 5, something like that. But, no, 7.5 is too much in this one. So I like the Jets here. You know, people kind of forget that Jets defense is borderline elite.
Yep.
I know everyone's sort of down on it. They watched Thursday night, but look, short week, you're not preparing for the opponent's backup quarterback.
Right.
They had a good plan.
Right. Tyrod Taylor wasn't doing anything.
Tyrod Taylor could have played 14 quarters against him, and the Browns wouldn't have scored. So
they've owned Tyrod Taylor throughout the years.
Yeah.
Near elite, come on. Jets? No.
Oh, what they have this year? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm totally buying that. What they have on the back end, and look, you can't run on them either. I like the Jets hanging around in this one. Like Darnold's a wild card, and certainly Bortles is a wild card, because as we were reminded last week, Bortles he doesn't show up some weeks.
I thought it was more of a play calling. Nothing went right for them last week. I watched that game because of the survivor pool implications, and I didn't feel it was the Bortles. They could not. Here's one thing about that defense. It's good. They could not stop Tennessee when they had to. Tennessee was able to run out the clock, get first downs. But yeah, listen, I can't defend them. He put up 6 points.
This is what I think happened to that offense. I think the Titans play a lot of man. They came out with a different game plan. They played a ton of zone against Bortles. They threw a bunch of weird guys in weird places. They just caused a lot of confusion with them. Bortles couldn't handle it. He wasn't prepared for it. And the Jaguars just decided they couldn't throw the ball.
Yeah. Jaguars are nice for teasers this week, if that's your fancy.
That's a good point.
Eagles, talk about a struggling team, giving 4 points on the road against those Tennessee Titans, who we've been talking about. Mariota looks like he's playing. Total here is 41. Eagles beat the Colts, but it was not easy at all at home. Carson Wentz getting the rust off. I think this might be the week he puts it together, but we'll see what the Grambling brothers think. Gary, Eagles -4, Tennessee, total 41.
No, I'm with you on Wentz. I think he had a chance to knock the rust off a little bit last week. On top of that, you get Alshon Jeffrey back. You get Jay Ajayi back. You have your full complement of weapons again. Probably not a MVP level type of performance coming from Wentz, but I think he's going to be much better this week than he was last week when they kind of got away with one against the Colts there. That Titans team, man.
They're a team I can't figure out.
We talk about it on the Deep Dive podcast. This is the slowest team in football. This looks like a team that's straight out of 1992. I don't know how they're going to score points. I think it's 9-6 is their path to victory, and I don't think they are good enough defensively. I think they're good defensively. I don't think they're good enough to hold the Eagles under 20 points here.
Scott?
This is a tough game. I think 4 is the right number here. Mm-hmm. I feel like it feels to me like a 24-20 type of game. If I had to pick it, I would lean slightly to the Eagles. I think you look at Tennessee, they come into this one having been outgained by an average of 53 yards per game so far this season. You look at what they've done, not too productive as a home underdog. They're 6-14-1 against the spread as a home underdog since the start of 2013. If I had to take it, I'd take the Eagles, but it's a couple of teams with a lot of question marks. And, maybe two of five NFL teams I still just don't have a feel for at all at this point. And I think we'll get some answers. I think a lot of that has to do with each team not having been settled on a quarterback, having quarterback injuries, backup quarterbacks in there, rotating in and out. I think all those reasons, there's just so much uncertainty. There's other things on the board that you can lean to. I think it's a tough game to call.
I can't read the Titans as well. I'm with you there. If I had to pick, I would go with the Eagles. I think with Wentz now having that 1 week under his belt, and I think Gary hit the nail on the head. Jeffrey back, Jay back. I think they can get rolling on offense. Interesting game here. Everyone has the Patriots in the coffin. They want to close the cover and then put it in the ground. Not quite there yet, though. Patriots -6.5 at home against the hot Dolphins. Total here 48. I'll just go first quickly on this one. I would love to be able to pick the Dolphins, but they have a lot of injuries on defense. They lost William Hayes last week because of the stupid roughing the passer penalty. He was actually trying not to rough the passer and then injured himself. They have a couple of other injuries on defense. This is dangerous here with everyone ready to have the funeral for the Patriots. 6.5, that was a big number. I mean, if you said you have to pick this, I would take the Dolphins only because I think the 6.5 is a little high. The Patriots, where are the weapons besides Gronkowski? I mean, you saw last week, you just put three guys on Gronkowski. Now, Josh Gordon's playing, but who knows what to expect there. Very intriguing game. Interesting line here, 6.5. I'd love if it was 7, but this one is going to be very telling. Gary?
Yeah, I mean, look, if this was a season-opening game and the Dolphins were getting 6.5 here, I'd like it a lot more. I think the line is a little bit inflated because everyone's kind of looking at it and saying, you know, Dolphins can't be 4-0 while the Patriots are 1-3. That's right. Just a just God does not allow that. I'm going with the Dolphins, though. I'm leaning Dolphins. I really don't think there's much of a talent separation with these two teams right now. I think the Patriots are disastrously bad on defense. I think Adam Gase is licking his chops right now after seeing what the Lions did to them a week ago. And you know, I think the only reason you lean with the Patriots is because they're the Patriots and there's Brady and Belichick. And,
right.
But this Patriots team reminds me of, and Scott, you'll probably remember this, when they lost to the Chip Kelly Eagles at home a couple of seasons ago, and it was just a matter of they had no players left. And that's kind of where it feels like they are right now.
That was a weird game. No, there was a lot of special teams mishaps. Yep.
But their offense could not get anything going. The only big play they had during that game was the I can't remember. Was it Edelman threw to maybe it was Amendola. One of those receivers threw to Brady on like a 40-yard trick play.
Yeah, it was that play that the same play the Pats tried to run in the Super Bowl, and Brady missed the pass. It was the same exact play.
I'll tell you one thing. Adam Gase has impressed me this year. Their offense is—it's not a cookie cutter offense. That they do a lot of stuff there. It's going to be a very interesting game, Scott.
Right, let me start with this. Yeah. I love over 48 in this game. Absolutely love over 48.
Yep.
Look, Patriots tend to punish teams that are below average defensively. The Dolphins are a below average defensive team, no matter how you slice it. All right. Patriots 12-2 against the spread since the start of 16 when going against a team that's allowing at least 350 total yards per game. Okay, Miami has the 29th ranked NFL pass defense, and I know that you look at this stuff early in the season, it's like, well, small sample size. However, the quarterbacks they have faced, they haven't been facing Breeze and Roethlisberger, okay? They have faced over the first three games Marcus Mariota, Blaine Gabbert, Sam Darnold, and Derek Carr. And they are still the 29th ranked pass defense.
Sounds like the Hall of Fame class of 2033 right now.
It could be, but it's not.
With Tom Brady.
It's not the Pro Bowl class of 2018, I can tell you that. To me, it's if you're only laying 6.5 here, I feel like we're going to be here next week and be like, oh, could you believe that spread was only 6.5? You're going to look back in December. You know, sometimes you look back throughout the year.
But who's Brady throwing the ball to exactly?
Gronkowski, okay. James White, well, Dorsett. Look, I mean, they beat the Texans in the season opener by 7 with the same group. Do you really think Bill Belichick and that team and Josh McDaniels is going to come away from the Lions game and say, oh, we're going to do the same stuff here? I mean, Chris Hogan has been miscast as a slot receiver. He's not a slot receiver. He's a solid outside receiver. I think you're going to see more James White in the slot. I think you're going to see Hogan going back to the outside.
How do you factor Gordon into all this?
I don't even factor Gordon into all this. I really don't.
Right.
I think it's too early to tell.
Right.
So I'm not even factoring that in. If he doesn't play, I love the Pats here, only giving 6.5. You tell me they're not going to win that game by a touchdown? The Dolphins' defense is weak. Yes, they
and they're
won
banged
the
up. That's what gives me pause here.
And
today.
They're banged
losing
up.
Losing a couple of guys.
Yeah, look, I mean, they had that crazy first game against the Titans, right? Then against the Jets and Darnold, and then here, you know, I know they won that game seemingly comfortably against the Raiders. That was not a comfortable win.
Right.
I just think that they're 3-0. I give them a lot of credit, but this is a spot here where I do put some stock into what Brady and Belichick have done to this point in their careers. And you look at what the Pats have done against weak defenses, and any way you slice it, the Dolphins are a weak defense right now that is banged up.
I will say, last thing I'll say in defense of my Dolphins, I will, if I'm branding the Cardinals,
the Dolphins now. Yeah,
come on, guys.
The Lions and the Cardinals are your teams. You're not getting on the Dolphin bandwagon.
Dolphin, Gase is my guy. That's I'm wearing true. An Adam Gase polo
I'll
today.
Give you that. All right.
This is what happened. Gary requested three teams at the beginning, and Jimmy granted him two. He gave him the Lions, and he gave him the Cardinals.
But no, the one point I'll make with the injuries up front, they're deep on the defensive line. That's the one place where they can afford injuries, and they'll be all right. They have a deep rotation there. I think they'll be all right on the defensive line. I think it's just a matter of do you think the Patriots get it right this week? Like Scott said, this Chris Hogan in the slot stuff has been absurd. I don't know if they're just basing their—
It's like playing a different position, especially in that offense. I don't think they're going to do it again.
I don't know if they're basing their slot receiver on who needs the most sunscreen before the game.
But you also said, you said something interesting. You used the word rotation. And that's the problem, is they have rotational guys out. Even though they have depth, the guys that are left are not used to playing every downs. I really think them being banged up on the defensive line, it changes what they're able to do. I don't think they get pressure on Brady. And because of that, I think the Pats win this game relatively easily. And I'll stress again, to bookend it, I love over 48 in this game.
I think Danny Amendola gets his revenge on Bill Belichick in this one. All right, so that's an intriguing game. Now we go to the opposite end of the spectrum, and we go to a pig on Sunday at 4 o'clock, although it is one of Gary's teams. Well, I shouldn't say it's a pig, because you could be intrigued by Josh Rosen, I guess. But good luck watching this. Seahawks giving 3 at Arizona, total 39. Scott?
If I had to take it, I'd take the home dog. I really don't have much to say. It's a pig.
No trepidation on Josh Rosen taking him?
I have a little bit of trepidation. Yeah. I just think the Seahawks are bad, and I would take the home dog here. Don't love the Cardinals in this spot. It could obviously be a 20-16 type of game one way or the other. Yeah, I do have a little trepidation on Josh Rosen, but the fact that he's coming in for Bradford, I don't really think it's a downgrade. I think the line's right. And I think it's a pig of a game that I really don't have much interest in.
Gary, they're your Cardinals, so break it down.
No, I agree. And look, Josh Rosen is an unknown, but it can't get any worse than what they've been doing. I don't know what they're doing with David Johnson, this offense. They got some things to figure out there. But the Rosen factor, I think, if anything, is a plus for me in this one. And I think getting points at home against a bad Seattle team, I'll go with the Cardinals here.
All right, this game I find very interesting. The Raiders are giving, I thought it was 2.5 a week. William Hill, before I came in, had it at 3. Raiders giving 3 to the Baker Mayfields. Total, 45. Baker, first start in the black hole. Very interesting. Gary?
Yeah, I like the under in this one, first of all. I think the Raiders, they've got tape on Baker Mayfield now. The Jets not only didn't have tape on Mayfield, but they didn't think he was going to play last Thursday night. So Raiders have plenty of time to prepare a game plan for him. They got a good defensive coordinator in Paul Gunther. He's short on talent, but he's a sharp dude. But I like the Raiders in this one. Obviously, it gives you a little bit of pause. You got the X factor at quarterback here with Baker, but I think they're going to have a much better plan.
Raiders still trying to get their first win of the season. Mm-hmm.
They have played better the last couple weeks. I think what's stuck in a lot of people's heads is that late Monday night game in the season opener when they got crushed in the second half by the Rams. The Rams since then have pretty much been crushing everybody. I feel like Raiders are starting to get that passing game on track a little bit. I don't think you can ignore, I know Baker Mayfield's in there now, you can't ignore the fact that it's been nearly 3 calendar years since the Browns won a road game, and this is only a 3-point spread, so I would have liked it better at 2.5. But I like the Raiders here. I wouldn't say I love the Raiders, because there still are questions, and maybe the Browns do get some momentum with Baker Mayfield under center. But I don't see how you could bet the Browns in this spot on the road going against the Raiders, not getting that many points.
I don't have the courage to make them a best bet, but I probably will bet the Browns. Here's the thing. They didn't win a game last year. So now you got to tackle everything step by step. They got the tie. Now they got the home win. Now they need the road win. And I love Baker Mayfield. I'm all in on Baker Mayfield. I said he should have been the number one pick. I think he's going to be the best out of all the rookies, Darnold, Rosen, et cetera. He came out last week, played way better than I even thought he would ever play. Listen, the Browns on the road, very, very tough. But this would be more of a heart pick than a brain pick. But I'm telling you, don't sleep on Baker. And the Brown defense is, listen, Myles Garrett's a beast.
Plus 9 turnover differential.
Yeah. I will take the Browns just for the fun of it, and I'll be rooting hard for Baker Mayfield here. The Raiders losing that game in Miami, they should have won. That was a choke job. If you've ever, if you watched the end of that game, they gave up long plays to the Dolphins. The defense just folded. I'm on the Baker bandwagon here. All right. Now we go to the Saints giving a field goal on the road at the Giants. Big total here, 50.5. Again, the game is In New Jersey, Saints come in giving the field goal after their win at Atlanta last week. Back-to-back road games here for the Saints. Total 50.5. Scott.
Yeah, I really I liked this better when the Giants were getting the 3.5. I really liked the hook. I do like the Giants in this one, though, and I like them to win this game outright. I feel like it's a spot where this Saints defense is just it's giving up a lot of points, a lot of yards. Their slot cornerback now is on IR with ankle injury, so that even hurts the secondary more. They're giving up 11.2 yards per pass attempt, the Saints are. Now, in that, again, small sample size, but a third of that sample size is a game against Tyrod Taylor. All right, so again, you got to look a little behind the numbers. And when you look behind the numbers, and we saw how awful Tyrod Taylor was, you know, a week ago Thursday in that game against the Jets, I feel like this Saints defense is one that the Giants can jump on. I think the Giants have been battle-tested to this point in the season against a pair of top-five defenses statistically with Jacksonville and Dallas, and a defense that's top half of the league in Houston statistically. And now you've got one of the bottom defenses through three games. I just think it's a solid matchup here for the Giants, and I think with that secondary banged up, they find ways to get Odell Beckham the ball. I think Pat Shurmur comes up with the type of game plan where the Giants can put up a decent amount of points on the Saints. And I also think, you know, Saints not quite as good outdoors as they are indoors.
Gary?
No, I agree with Scott on pretty much every point made there. And the one thing I'll add is Giants did some different things last week. They're evolving as an offense, and they're moving in the right direction. You had Saquon Barkley in a better position. They had him split out wide more. And they had Ereck Flowers in a better position, which was glued to the bench. So I think they're trending up offensively and getting points at home. I like the Giants here.
Yeah, I'm doing a bad job as hosting because I'm trying to get an update on Evan Engram because I think he's a big factor here for the Giants. He's a legitimate weapon. Doesn't look like he's playing, I don't think. But I hate to I'm not yet there on the Giants. I had them the first 2 weeks. I'm just not there. But the Saints back-to-back road game is going to come in and win again. I don't see that. I do think 50.5, I would go over. I think the Saints are just one of these teams that, you know, people came into the season, oh, their defense has improved. Listen, they score a lot of points and they give up a lot of points. Nothing's changed with that.
The defense was good second half of last year.
Right.
It's been awful.
Right.
Absolutely been
so
awful.
So, I don't know. If I had a play here, I'd go 50.5 and lay off the game. This game would have been really nice if Jimmy G didn't have that injury last week, but now you got C.J. Beathard to watch Sunday at 4 o'clock. Chargers at home giving 10.5 to the visiting 49ers, total 46. How do you evaluate this one here with the Jimmy G injury, Scott?
Tough. I think the line is about right. I wouldn't lay this many points with the Chargers. As everybody who listens to This Week in Week Out knows, I think the Chargers remain overrated. And because of that, I would not lay double digits, but I also would not take double digits with Beathard at quarterback.
Right.
A shame. Like, this really would have been an intriguing game. And
that total of 46 would probably be 56 if Garoppolo was playing instead of Beathard.
Could have been. So, yeah, I'm staying away from this game. I guess if I absolutely had to pick it, I would take the Niners and the points and just think that, you know, they'd find a way to keep it at, 28-20.
Yeah, I'm with
like
you
that.
There. I think this could be like a rally the troops type of thing for Kyle Shanahan. And the running back's been great for the Niners. And no Joey Bosa for the Chargers, and the 10.5 is a big number. Gary?
No, kind of like what Scott was saying, I like the Chargers against bad teams. That said, I'm not going to sit here and say C.J. Beathard is this year's Nick Foles, but look, you got a brilliant coach. You got a guy, Beathard's his hand-picked number two quarterback. The system works. If Beathard can operate the system properly, this team can overachieve. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're going to win 10 games.
Right. Well,
yes,
right.
Exactly. Yes.
They can be down 27-7 and then late touchdown field goal situation, and, you know, you're in business.
No, I think, look, Shanahan loves Beathard. He traded up for Beathard. He didn't bring in a number two quarterback.
He also loved Joe Williams, running back out of Utah.
Joe Williams had some issues besides
know,
the actual football. But
fair.
But, yeah, I, you know, I'd be interested to see what C.J. Beathard's going to be.
I like
this
that
year.
We all would take the Niners in this, which is interesting.
No, I'll lean Chargers in this.
You
one.
Give up
yeah.
the 10.5. All right.
I hate the game too, but yeah. I lean Chargers.
We go to the primetime game Sunday night. The Ravens go into Pittsburgh. They get their win last week against the Bucks. Steelers giving 3 points total. Another high one here, 50.5. Gary, the Steelers cover the 3.
Yeah, usually I'm not crazy about the Monday night team coming
night.
Into.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Monday night team, right, yeah, coming into a Sunday night game, but Steelers coming off the Monday night game mm-hmm. and down in Tampa. I think it being a division opponent, I think the preparation is not as daunting as you usually get. Look, Ben Roethlisberger, if you threw out week one, and obviously that's a big if, but if you threw out week one, Ben Roethlisberger's been as good as any quarterback in football. Mm-hmm. I think no C.J. Mosley with this Ravens defense. I think the Steelers are going to put up like 35, 40 yeah. points in this game. And then it just comes down to, will Flacco get hot? Flacco can get hot. Flacco put up 38 points against his defense last year. But, I mean, yeah,
and
probably not.
And like you said, Roethlisberger's been great, and we still have not had that vintage Antonio Brown game yet this year. So that, you know, that's going to be coming. Yes, Big Ben after that week one against the Browns has definitely lit it up like
that.
But
I do like the Steelers winning this one by a touchdown.
Yeah, Scott?
Yeah, I do put stock in the team coming off a Monday night game, and mostly the visiting team. When the visiting team coming off Monday night, the stats just kind of bear out that that's a tough spot. And interestingly, and coincidentally, when the Steelers played the Ravens last year in Pittsburgh, the Steelers were coming off a Monday night game as the road team. They mm-hmm. were in Cincinnati that won that 23-20, came and faced the Ravens. They won by 1 point. They were a 6-point favorite. I took a look at last year, and road teams, Monday night road teams, that played the following Sunday were 5-11 straight up, 4-12 against the spread. So I looked deeper at those four teams because one of the one that won but didn't cover was the Steelers one I just mentioned. The four teams that covered did so against the Vikings did it against the Packers when Aaron Rodgers got injured in the first quarter. The Lions covered against the Browns. We all know what the Browns did last year. And they actually trailed against the Browns after playing a Monday night game against the Bears. They trailed by double digits. It was the Browns' first double-digit lead of the season. And then the Falcons covered on a Sunday after being a road team on a Monday against the Buccaneers. So, you know, that's it. The fourth one was the Patriots, who played that Monday night game against the Dolphins and then won by 3 as a 2.5-point favorite at Pittsburgh. Mm. The Patriots had rested a lot of their key guys yeah. in that game, and if Jesse James' catch is actually ruled a catch, which it was, then that game goes the other way. I do put a lot into that, and I put a lot into the fact that the Ravens have had success in Pittsburgh in recent years. 3-0-1 against the spread in Pittsburgh the last four times they've been there. 5-1-1 against a spread over the 7 matchups, regardless of where it's been. I think for all those reasons, I'm leaning quite heavily here on the Ravens. I think a tough spot for the Steelers coming off the Monday night road game, having to play this divisional rivalry. I'll take the points. It just seems like these games, I know it's only 3 points, but it seems like these games tend to be decided by only 3 points. Mm. So I'm leaning Ravens here.
I like the Steelers because they're just laying a field goal at home. And like Gary said, Roethlisberger is playing so good. I don't think the Ravens offense is going to be able to keep up with the Steelers in that one. That's just my theory.
I will say that before we move on, the one asterisk that you got to slap on the one from last year's Steelers-Ravens game was that was the Shazier first game without Shazier after that. So they were in – I think the defense is trending up at this point, which is not saying much considering how they performed the first 3 weeks.
How is it trending up?
Because they got Joe Hayden back, and they're – starting to settle things here.
How are they settling things? They gave up 27 points to the Buccaneers. They gave up 8 million points to the
they gave up
turnovers.
They gave up 27 points in a game that they already had 30.
Yeah.
I mean, that changes the way you approach the game.
Sure
does.
I don't think if you watch that game, you think that defense
is
any good.
They got intercepted. They were caused turnovers, got interceptions, two picks, I think, in the first half.
Let me put it this way. I think they're in a much better spot than they were last December, first game without Shazier.
I'll give you that. I don't think the Ravens are dropping 38 on them, but I think they'll drop 28 on them.
All right, we go to Monday night. I'm going to steal all of Scott's thunder here because I love the Chiefs, given 4.5 at Denver. total 55. Thank you, Patrick Mahomes. There's no way Denver's keeping up with the Chiefs in this game. Scott?
There's no way Denver's keeping up with the Chiefs in this game.
Plain and simple.
Gary, why don't you go? I have so much I could say about it. I know we don't have that much time, but... I think we just said it all.
The Chiefs cannot keep up. The Broncos will not keep up with the Chiefs.
Go to SI.com and slash gambling. I have five strong reasons why the Chiefs are going to win this game and win this game big.
How about one reason? Offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's seriously.
They're unstoppable.
The trends are huge for Kansas City and against Denver in this one. I'll say that.
That's
I'm leaning Denver in part to be a jerk.
Are you really?
No, I'll lean Denver. Look, 3 weeks of Chiefs on tape. You get them at home. The Broncos are obviously they're a better team at home. I still think they're not great.
So
I don't feel great about it, but I'll lean Denver in this one.
Really. Case Keenum's going to keep it close with no weapons. Demaryius Thomas is done.
Against this Chiefs defense, it's not saying
they don't
much.
Need a defense. Their offense is their defense.
That is true. That is true.
Check out my article, si.com/gambling, and I've got the 5 points, and you will be putting everything that you can afford on the Chiefs on Monday night.
Great transition into our best bets. I'll go first because I only have two. The Chiefs, obviously. Okay. I think this game's over at halftime, basically. And I think the Steelers are my other best bet. Only laying a field goal at home against a Ravens team that I just don't love at all. I think Pittsburgh now has got a little momentum. I think they keep it up. I think it's a big Antonio Brown week. He's ready to bust out. So only two best bets for me. Chiefs -4.5 at Denver Monday night. Steelers -3 at home Sunday night against the Ravens. Gary, your best bets.
I got five, and I think I'm going head-to-head with Scott in two of them that we'll find
love
out.
I have
Dallas -3. I have Houston +1.5 and Eagles -4 at I'll take them +4 too.
Don't try
Eagles,
to cheat
Eagles,
this system.
Eagles -4 at Tennessee. I'm gonna go Miami +6.5 in New England, and I'm gonna go with Steelers -3 at home against the Ravens.
Scott,
I am taking New England -6.5, and I am also, as my second best bet, I'm taking the over 48 in the Patriots-Dolphins game. My third...
Double barrel action on Miami-New England. I know what game. Scott's going to lock 1 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Scott's going to be focused.
My third one is Atlanta -4 against Cincinnati. And, of course, the Chiefs on Monday night. We get that at four and a half.
It doesn't even matter. 14.5. It doesn't matter.
We'll do it at four and a half.
This game's got 45-13 written all over it.
You know, and the last game that I'm kind of flip-flopping on, and I am going to officially make this a fifth best bet, is Houston getting the point and a half against
the Colts. You and Gary
in
agreement on that one. All right.
I am in agreement with Gary on that one. I was thinking about the over in that one, but I'm only going to play the one total this week, which is the Patriots-Dolphins over 48.
So the Grambling brothers have five best bets each. I only have two. Hopefully we continue the momentum we all had last week, and we can brag about it next week as we wrap up this edition. Enjoy week 4 in the NFL, and take it easy.
Have a profitable weekend, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.